Okay, so we are on Me'ilah Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Mar, according to Bryce and Nefesh, Echad Hayachid Ve'echad Anzi Ve'echad Amar Shulach Me'mashma. We've already seen this. When a Yahweh, the person is a Yachid, meaning just a regular Jew, or a Nasi, meaning a king, or a Mashuach, meaning a Kohen Gadol. The reason why he's Mashuach is because he's paired the Shem and HaMishka, at least theoretically, before Yoshiyahu Melchided, but the Kohen Gadol was anointed with the Shem and the Mishka, which Moshe Rabbeinu created for anointing the Kohen Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, he is a Mashuach. He has been anointed with the oil. He is the Kohen Gadol, right? The Kohen Gadol, if he has been anointed with that oil, or the king, brings special kapanos. A king, instead of a regular chatzis, brings a Seir Izim. And a Seir instead of Seir Ras Izim, a male instead of a female goat. And the Mashuach brings a par Helam Davar. Right, much like the Sibur does, he brings the same korban as the Sibur when he makes a mistake in Hurrah. Fine. Sheyachal mai. The question was, why not? Because why would you have thought there's a difference between a Nasi, a Yachid, and a Mashiach Melchama? Obviously, they all bring the same korban. Nefesh, because the pasuk says nefesh. You don't even need to tell me that nefesh means any nefesh. That's just obvious. Mo'udasem, what would you have thought? Amar Rachamana, the Torah says, Vasher yitein mimenu al zar, v'aylav zaru, da'im shech begaveika mashmalan. What would you have thought? The pasuk says the limit here is a little bit complicated. The pasuk, with regard to the Shem and Hamishka, says "Vasher yitain mimenu al zar." Isha sher yukarchamo. Anybody who makes a similar anointing oil to this, "Vasher yitain mimenu al zar," who place it on a strange person, meaning somebody who's not meant to be placed on. That's an Isur Kores, using the Shem and Mishcha. Either creating another version of Shem and Mishcha or using it is an Isur Kores. The argument is as follows, right? A Nasi and a Mishuach Melchama have both had Mashicha. Nasi hasn't inherently had Mashicha, but he's either had Mashicha or he's descended from someone who's had Mashicha. A Mashuach has, of course, actually had Mashicha. So, since they have had Mashicha, it's as though they're already no longer Zarim. If they're no longer Zarim, you would have thought that for them, Me'ilah is either different, less severe, non-existent altogether, because they have some level of Kedusha that's associated normally with the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so you might have thought they're not subject to Me'ilah. Kamash Malan, no, they are. Just, it's the same Isur with the same consequences as everybody else. It says, Ba'aksha rachamana la'soita u'la'avodas chachavim u'la'trum. And the Torah compared it to soita and to avodah zara and to truma. What's the comparison to soita? Da'af agav de'loi pagam gabi hekdesh na'ami. Nasna tabas biyada me'ila. The idea is, just as with soita, on the one hand, obviously a soita is a terrible thing, right? A woman who sleeps with another man outside of her marriage, right, is a terrible thing. On the other hand, right, the way in which Saita works is that she has already slept with her husband. So the idea is, on a technical level, right, what difference does it make to him if she did that? Obviously provided she doesn't get pregnant. And even so, right, it is viewed as something that's very, very serious, and the pasuk refers to it as Me'ilah. Right. So just as with Sota, in a technical sense, there's not necessarily any damage done. Sota with Ne'ilo, there are a case of Ne'ilo where no particular damage has been done, and even so, the Issur is a very, very serious one. And that's the case where you put a ring on a woman's hand, or you drink from a golden cup, right? In those cases, you do Me'ilah even without it being pogim, lechol hades. Kiach sherachman ala aves chavin de'ad de'itz bashinu yigab hektash nami ad de'bika be'kardoim ve'yipalgeim upagum. What's the comparison to the Avodah Zarah? That Avodah Zarah maintains its status until it suffers some sort of fairly serious damage. That is true also in certain cases of milah. For example, if you were to use an axe which was hektish to cut down a tree, you would not have committed milah until that blade, for example, starts coming and stuck unstuck from the unstuck from the pole, or the pole splits or something like that, until you've done actual damage to it. Because this is a case where damage is very, very common and easily anticipated. Actually, Rachman Shuma Mat Shuma Ki Yoichal Prat Namazik Gabi Hekdashami Kol Davar Kol Davar Achila Ki Mazikle Potter. And then the Torah also compared it to Truma. Why? Because in Torah, when it comes to Truma, the pasuk has the following there: It's Gosav Ishki Kodesh, a man who will eat Kodesh Bishgaga. Shogeg unintentionally, not realizing it was Truma, or not realizing that was Asur, V'yathav Chamishisa Alav, then he should add, he will have to replace the Truma, he will have to donate Chulin, which will then become Truma Chulin, or really in this Torah, so Chulin, which were once Tevel, and then you took Truma, and so they became Chulin, right? To pay the value of the Truma, and add another quarter, to make a fifth of the total, as always. Then Nasan la Kohen as a Kodesh, and he will give the Kohen this Kodesh. Since it says ki yochal kodesh, the pasuk says that we're talking about a case where he eats the kodesh and not where he damages the kodesh. So, therefore, we see that somebody who is masik, who does damage to truma, is patur mitashlomin. So too, when it comes to hektesh, something which is normal, which is hektesh, right, which is normally eaten, if you happen to do damage to it, you will not be guilty of me'ilah because of the Hekesh with Truma, which we have already seen, that Truma and Me'ilah are compared significantly. Now, it should be noted the simple implication of this Gemara is that if it is. Is that the simple implication of this Gemara is that if it is something which is not edible, you will be chayav midaraisa for doing nezek, for damaging it in me'ila as well. It should be noted the miyuchas of Rashi here says that explicitly, but he says that his Rebbe in fact said that that is not the case. He said his, but his Rebbe said that that was not the case. His Rebbe said the case that any case of Mazik in Hektesh will be Pater. That is the, in fairness, the case of the Rambam as well. The Rambam also thinks that any case of Nezek in Truma will be Pater. It should also be noted, Tosis make the obvious horror here, that the case when we're talking about Pater is if you didn't get any Hana. If you do damage to it in the process of getting Hana, then, or the damage gives you Hana, then you are Chayav from the Ila because you got Hana. The case we have Pater for Nezik is where you didn't get Hana. Okay. Let's continue. Ketzad Nasna Katla v'chule. So the case, the The case in the Mishnah is the if he put a katla on her neck. If you remember, a katla is some sort of necklace. If a man put a necklace, which is hekdesh, on his wife's, well, from somebody's neck, right? Sorry, we were in the middle of this discussion. Somebody gives a necklace to somebody else, and the necklace is hekdesh and puts it around the neck, that is me'ila, even without putting it in outcome, because it's a case when it normally won't be any damage. Amrul Rav Kahana la Rav Zvid. Rav Kahana said to Rav Zvid, V'dahava lav barif kumihu, doesn't gold get damaged very easily? It's a soft metal, right? Its value diminishes considerably if it's damaged. V'hadava de kalse denoin lehecha azul. Basically, they knew a very wealthy man, right? And they said, what does his wife do with all of her jewelry? It doesn't get damaged. Like, why is he giving us that much? What on earth is the point? Amar lei? The response was, the answer was, Dilma. Dava de Ramyan Kalasihu. Maybe it's like, look at what your daughters-in-law do with their jewelry, was the response. Rav Zvid said to Arana, I don't understand, look at your daughters-in-law. And they do with their jewelry, they throw it in all sorts of places, they leave it lying around. Of course it gets lost, it gets damaged, but that doesn't mean that necklaces inherently are something that easily gets damaged. No, normally it doesn't get damaged. V'oid, and also nehide le'ika nehene p'gam le'altar le'ilam bi le'ika p'gima. Secondly, in any case, it doesn't mean that there won't be any damage. It's not saying that there is hanah without, that there's mi'ilu, just hanah without any damage, because there's not going to be damage forever. It's because the damage is coming, right? These are objects that use them over time, and over time they will probably get damaged. Just right now they won't get damaged necessarily, and therefore you can create mi'ilu without gum. In other words, your argument was that gold does get damaged. The response was, well, yes, but not every time you use it. Once in a while, once every, in a very, very long while, it gets damaged. That's different. In such a case, you can commit mi'ila even without apgam. If you remember, that was l'chor, the machlokes, the subject of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, as explained by the Gemara, in the Mishnah, but as explained by the Gemara. Fine. Okay. Shkoyach, gentlemen, we will continue, please God, tomorrow.